I'm Layla Carey, and I am joined here in the studio this morning by Ross Dorndorf from the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, and Ben Limley with the U.S. Forest Service, and we're going to be talking about bear safety and awareness. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Morning, Layla.
And who wants to start?
I'll defer to Ross here. He's the whiz when it comes to bear safety, so I'm just here to support him.
Yeah. Just wanted to start the conversation and get folks thinking about bears. Probably a lot of people have been out on trails and walking around and starting to see some bear scat or potentially some activity in neighborhoods. And talking a little bit about, you know, what to do when you see a bear and what to do if you're having any issues and who to talk to, I think is pretty important to talk a little bit about each year. So we like to get out and remind folks about that. And we will, right away, I'll get the plug in that we will have a event for folks from 5:30 to 6:30. That's this Friday, the 3rd of June, at the Discovery Center here in town. And Ben and I will be talking about these issues and a little bit more. And we do have a live demonstration with inert bear spray. So it's a great chance for people to get out and just practice with it and just feel what it feels like and get a sense for aim and things like that.
I've always been hesitant to carry and then use bear spray, mostly because I'm always scared about having it blow back in my face.
Sure.
and be completely ineffective.
Sure. Yeah. That's a great point. So definitely have to mind the wind whenever you do decide to use it, if you have to. And hopefully it should be kind of a last resort thing. You know, bear encounters are largely going to be a positive experience when you know how to react and you're calm. You kind of have a practice thinking about these things and then using the bear spray. Things like holstering and unholstering are all things that are good to do. You might look kind of weird doing it out in the, you know, your yard, doing the quick draw or something like that, but it's important, and just getting that muscle memory down makes a situation where you need to use it much easier.
Yeah, and that's what I talk with folks a lot about. And you know, my job at the Forest Service, I train a lot of our new employees, seasonal employees, that kind of stuff. And something I really try to hammer home is that exactly. And if I'm out by myself working in the woods, I do that repetitively. Just as I'm walking through the woods, I imagine in my head, you know, there's a bear coming from this way. I'm gonna practice unholstering my bear spray, taking the safety clip off, you know, getting a feel for what that motion's going to be like, and then putting it all back together. And I think that's because that's going to prepare you for that really small likelihood of a negative bear encounter kind of thing. So I think exactly what Ross is saying, you know, that's what people need to be thinking about and preparing for. Mm-hmm.
And so bears around here tend to be the black bears. We don't see the grizzly bears, or at least we haven't so far. Mm-hmm. And the black bears tend to want to avoid us. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's certainly what they want. You know, they really don't want much of anything to do with us. They want to do their own thing, and we want to do our own thing. It's just a chance that you run into one that maybe is walking down the trail. It wants to get from point A to point B, so do you. And you know, when that happens, when you first make contact with the bear, what you want to do is decide whether or not it knows you're there, because it's always good to give a bear space. And if you see the bear first, it doesn't see you, it's always good to stop and slowly turn back and walk the direction that you came and just let that bear pass by and take that trail another day. In the case where it does see you, the first thing you want to do is stop and kind of assess the situation. And the things that I tell folks when we're doing bear training for Fish and Game is, in contrast with the past, it was more of gauging the situation and trying to think about what's going on. But now we say the first thing you want to do is, if you have an attracting, like bear or a deterrent. Bear spray, deterrent. Thank you. that you want to get that out and get it ready right away. Regardless of the situation, it's just always good to have it ready, whatever the situation is. And after you have your deterrent out, you kind of want to gauge the situation of the bear. Is it just looking at you, which most of the times it will be? And if it starts to approach, then we have different situations. The first being, it could be a defensive approach. You've become too close to that animal, or you've surprised a mother with cubs. You know, mother with cubs wants more space than a bear without cubs. So to give space, you want to stand your ground and talk calmly to that bear in a defensive situation. Hey, bear, sorry, bear. And that kind of de-escalates the situation, both for the bear, we hope, and for yourself. It calms yourself down too, which is important to keep a calm demeanor when dealing with situations. So if the bear starts to approach, then you're going to have your deterrent out and just keep talking calmly. And once the bear stops, slowly start to back away. And if the bear stops and starts going its own way, perfect. Situation is over. If the bear starts coming at you again when you're making that slow backup, you want to stop again, stand your ground, and talk in a calm voice. And hopefully that'll diffuse things. If it doesn't, the worst case scenario is the bear comes at you, and when you feel that that bear is too close to your personal space and your deterrent, the bear spray, is going to be effective, which is usually about 30 feet is your maximum, then you'd want to use that deterrent. And they do a really good job. And again, bear spray is light, it's easy to use, and once you practice with it a couple times, it works great. And if the bear were to continue for whatever reason, you would stop, fall to the ground, and in a defensive approach, you would actually play dead. And the way you do that is you would interlace your fingers, put them over the back of your neck to protect your neck, and you would fall to the ground and face down, stomach down to the ground, protecting your vital organs and splaying your feet slightly to ensure that you kind of stabilize yourself. And then you want to stop and allow the bear to kind of assert that you are not a threat. And then you want to stay in that position. That is one thing where people instantly want to get out of that position, mm-hmm. because it's a very scary place to be. Mm-hmm. So you want to stop, stay in that position for as long as possible until you cannot hear anything and you have no indication that that bear is around, and then slowly get up and remove yourself from the situation. So that's a defensive approach. And another approach that might be common with, say, a younger bear would be a non-defensive approach, usually out of curiosity, or maybe the bear is just trying to get from point A to point B, like we talked about before, or the bear is trying to assert dominance. Young males really like to puff up their chest and see what they can do. So it's
in all kinds of species, really.
Exactly. Bear spray works on many different animals. I'll just put that out there. So in a non-defensive approach, you're walking down a trail, you encounter a bear, and it sees you, and it's curious. You'll notice different facial cues. So the ears are perked up. It's looking at you. It's kind of gauging the situation. It's not scared. You know, it's not abruptly pulling back and turning around and running like a lot of bears will. So it might just be curious, and it might be walking towards you. And this is where, in opposed to a defensive encounter, you want to up your game. So again, you're going to stop and then get your deterrent out because you see a bear. And then you want to up your game if the bear is making those cues saying, hey, you look really interesting, and it's coming at you. And it'll be a slow approach more often than not, and it will slowly come at you. It'll keep eye contact with you and move towards you. And that's when you want to up your game, and you'll want to have an assertive voice. Hey, bear, get out of here. I don't like this, you know, and up your game. The closer the bear gets, you might even throw rocks and sticks to try and ward it off. And ultimately, if it continues to come at you, you want to use that deterrent again. When it gets into your personal space and you don't feel comfortable, and especially the maximum range of bear spray is honestly pretty short. It's about 30 feet. So it's good to, again, practice, and I'm really happy that we're going to have that demonstration for folks. Similar to the approach, if a bear comes in a defensive manner and makes contact with you, knocks you down, you're going to interlace your fingers, put them over the back of your neck, and face down on the ground, splay your legs slightly. The difference is that in a non-defensive approach, if it is a predatory approach, that's when you want to fight back with everything you've got. So if you had those initial cues of the bear being curious, walking towards you, focusing on you, that's when you want to make sure to fight. And, you know, honestly, it's hard to gauge that situation sometimes because it happens quickly, it happens abruptly, and if you're on the ground and the bear seems like it's not going away, you want to fight. So, yeah, lots of different cues and things to focus on when that situation happens. And it can be overwhelming, but thinking about it ahead of time and planning and a little bit of practice goes a long way.
Okay. Yeah, and I'll add to that a little bit. I think the way I look at it is in a defensive approach, that bear is looking at you as a threat. So whatever you can do to not appear as a threat is what you need to do. So, you know, that calm voice thing, that's huge. I've had a couple of weird encounters with bears, and just trying to talk in that like calm, hey bear, it's okay bear, totally neutralized the situation, made that bear, I think, feel comfortable, helped me control my breathing, made me feel a little comfortable. And then on the flip side, where I struggle is I had a weird bear encounter in Hyder a couple of years ago. And I was working with this guy who's really experienced. He's lived in Hyder for 40 some odd years, knows bears really well. And when this bear was approaching us, it was a young male black bear, pretty good sized bear, and was coming across the parking lot right towards our gate. And there was a family of folks there. So we had to deal with this bear. So I'm trying to do what Ross said, you know, trying to get that like, hey, bear, all right, bear, you're too close, get back, bear, that sort of thing. But in that moment, my heart was, you know, beating out of my chest. I got a whole crowd of people behind me. I've got my bear spray out. I'm starting to shake. My voice starts to crack, and I get all, you know, and I think that bear could really sense my lack of confidence there. And here comes Ron, this guy that's worked around bears for decades, and he just comes around the corner. And he just, hey, bear, come on, let's go. And he just, the bear looked at him, knew he meant business, turned around and walked away. Huh. And to see that experience and to go through that experience really helped me see how important it is to remain calm. Even if you're trying to, you know, in a non-defensive approach. So this bear, it wasn't defensive. I mean, he was set on coming towards the platform for whatever reason. So it was a non-defensive approach. So we had to up our game. We had to get loud. We had to get a little more aggressive with that bear. But I lacked that confidence, I felt like. And that bear totally could sense it. He was coming right towards me. He did not seem fazed by me at all. But Ron, who had that confidence and was loud and wasn't wavering, really, he was able to push the bear off. So that is something that I think a lot about. And regardless of whether it's defensive or non-defensive, that remaining calm, you know, standing your ground kind of thing is huge.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Interesting. And so I have a dog. Everybody out there listening probably heard him shaking and heard his collar jingling. And so when I am out in the woods, I often have a dog with me, and that changes the situation significantly. What sort of advice do you have for people who are out walking with their dogs and encounter a bear?
Sure. Yeah, that's a super common one. Depending on your dog, it might have one reaction or another. Some dogs really want to chase a bear. Some dogs want to defend you. Thank you, dogs. but it's important to have a leash. And the reason for that is if you have a situation where you have a dog that wants to chase that dog might be able to chase the bear away. And I definitely hear stories about people doing that. But the problem with that is that it can turn into a situation where the bear says, wait a minute, I'm bigger than you. I can take you, dog. The dog gets scared, runs back towards you, and all of a sudden you have a bear and a dog coming at you very quickly in not the best situation. So it's good to keep control of your animal for sure.
Okay. I would imagine that, like, mine's a barker, and even if he's on a leash, he's going to be, you know, very anxious and barking like crazy if he saw a bear, especially one potentially headed towards us. So what, I mean, is there advice on what to do in that sort of situation? I mean, is it still up to me to remain calm? Do I focus on the dog? Do I focus on the bear? How does that work?
Definitely. You know, I think animals really are an extension of our emotions. When they feel that tenseness and a little bit of being scared in that situation, they will kind of up their game in the inappropriate time. And what you want to do is very similar to what we talked about before. When you see that bear, stop. Get your deterrent out. And if the bear sees you and the dog, then you just want to gauge the situation, see what happens. More than likely, you know, when we talk about this, more than likely the bear is going to run. Black bears right. are much more common to have run away than compared to like a grizzly bear or brown bear that will stand its ground and more likely want to defend itself. But again, you stand your ground, and then once the bear is kind of on its way, turn around and go back the other way and hit that trail another day.
Okay. And I do want to say, I mean, I've been in Ketchikan for almost 25 years and hiking almost every weekend, and I've seen bears twice because I always have dogs with me, and bears do not want anything to do with us. So it's not something I anticipate, but at the same time, it's good to think about it, right?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I have a dog. She's crazy. Ross knows my dog. She's she's a total spaz, and I think she's a Karelian bear dog mutt of some sort. She came from Huna. So she's got, I think some in her, she gets real worked up. She's programmed to get worked up, it seems like, when there's a bear around. Mm-hmm. But I've encountered bears probably 4 or 5 times with her, mostly up in the Alpine. And every single time I have been absolutely, you know, happy that I had her on leash. Because if I didn't have her on leash, I know she would go after the bear. And in the Alpine, I think the bears, the black bears even, you know, we had a black bear, I think it was fall of 2019. It was a bumper berry crop. But this bear, I don't, if Kinsey, it was a decent-sized male. If my dog Kinsey had gotten off leash or had been off leash and bolted after that bear, I really feel like that bear would have stood his ground. I mean, he, even though we were fairly close, we were maybe, I don't know, 70, 80 yards away. That bear did not, my dog was going crazy, barking, growling, jumping up and down, and that bear didn't pay any attention to her.
Hmm.
So I think, you know, every situation is going to be a little different, and that's why it's important. If you don't have your dog that's extremely well-trained, they need to be on a leash. You're not going to be able to anticipate every situation. And I know lots of folks that always have their dogs on a leash and their dogs tree bears and, have, you know, they've had good success with their dogs running the bear away kind of thing. But, and for me personally, and as a wildlife biologist, I don't want to put the bear through that stressful situation as well. So I like to keep my animal leashed and with me, and I can help control the situation that way a lot better.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. And it's important talking about this stuff too, that, you know, we want these things to be a positive experience. You get to see a bear. Like you said, you've seen two.
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, and keeping an air of the situation that might be is always important, because like you said, you've been hiking a lot, you've seen two, and usually there's more out there. You just may not have seen them. So just having that deterrent with you and just always kind of being aware that it could be a situation is really important.
Oh yeah, I definitely know they're out there because they leave behind the piles, mm-hmm. which my previous dog would always roll in. So that was great.
That's one focus I like to have when I do the bear safety talk for Forest Service employees is awareness, and I think awareness is one of the biggest things. And I had a trail camera set up on Margaret Creek or up on Margaret Lake a couple years ago for a summer. When I pulled that camera down, and I mean, yeah, the black bear density there is pretty high, so there's lots of bears moving around that area. But as I was going through the pictures, I noticed every single time one of our employees or a member of the public would walk the road, usually within about an hour, a bear would be behind them, their nose up in the air, smelling around. And I don't think it's a coincidence. You know, I think the bears could smell something, so they were kind of curious. Mm-hmm. And sometimes there's one video that's particularly good, and this one's from Hyder, but someone came down the Titan Trail over in Hyder, and I think 14, 15 minutes later, there's a really good-sized brown bear walking the same exact path, nose straight up in the air. And I think, you know, the bears pretty quickly realize it's just a person, that they're not really interested, and they move on. But I think from an awareness perspective, it just makes you realize how there's lots of bears out there. So it's just a good reminder to and I feel bad when I show some people those slides because I think it gets people worked up and afraid to like do any hiking or go anywhere, and that's not what I want at all. I mean, I just think it's a good reminder to folks that bears are out there. They're not always out there necessarily, but they're around, and I think it's just important to know that, to have, you know, bear spray or your deterrent with you and available and accessible. Yeah, I think that's one of the big things I preach is awareness, just knowing that there's bears out there. Is a big part of it.
And it, out traders, didn't you get a picture of a different species?
Oh yeah, so that's something you mentioned earlier. Here on Revilla, we generally only have black bear, but in the 5 years I've been in Ketchikan, in my job, I've received we had a recreation guy in 2017 that got a picture of a brown bear up on the north west side of the island, and then in 2020 we had a trail camera that captured a video of a brown bear or a grizzly bear at Trader's Cove as well. So brown bears do occur on Revilla Island. I mean, Ross could probably speak to it a little bit more. So they're here, they're present. You know, the pictures that I've seen or the video, we can't really guess you know, whether it's a male or female from that video, but odds are it's stray males kind of out wandering. But yeah, I don't know if you want to add anything to
from
brown bears.
What I've heard before, there's no real reason why we don't have the brown bears here. They just haven't shown up yet. So it's entirely possible that they could be moving in, right?
They've always kind of been around, just at really low densities and usually towards the north end of the island. Mm-hmm. Those are the sightings that I've heard about. So, reasoning being habitat. The habitat isn't the preferred habitat for brown bears. They're like big glacial cut, nice big flat drainages like you get on the mainland. So, you know, Boca de Quadra, Smeaton, Wilson Arm, places like that are ideal. And the higher elevation, they really like that for denning. So it's just not quite right on Revilla. So that's kind of why we have a few. And, you know, we can kind of guess as to where they come through. Bell Island to the north is a pretty short skip from the mainland, and they probably move back and forth there. And we've got pictures, and I've heard from the public that they've seen them in that area before. So, again, going off of awareness, it's not impossible to see one. And regardless of what species it is, you're going to act fairly similarly, kind of what we talked about before in terms of an approach of a bear. So, and it can be difficult. The difference between a black bear and a brown bear, it's not always just the color of the animal. They're not always black. They're not always brown.
Right.
A black bear can be brown, which is totally confusing, you know, and it messes people up for sure. It's not easy. So
it's the skull shape, right? And there's a hump on the back of the brown bear.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So with a brown bear, you're going to notice that big hump on the shoulder, and that's one of the giveaways. And then with the face, it's more of what we call a dish face. When you look a brown bear right in the face, from the snout, it kind of swoops up to where the eyes are and then cuts back, whereas a black bear will be a much more smoother line up the nose and then over the eyes and to the back of the skull. And also tracks are much different. And brown bears evolved in a landscape where it was open country and they were diggers. So they got these big claws for digging and getting at roots and tubers and things like that. Whereas black bear has very short claws made for climbing, shooting up a tree. They're really good climbers. Both animals can potentially climb a tree. It's just dependent on the age of the animal and the configuration of the tree. I have a great picture of a sow that's clear to the top of a large spruce tree, but there's really big branches. So that's why encountering a bear, you do not want to climb a tree because they can both potentially climb a tree, and you don't want to take that that gamble. So again, just standing your ground. But yeah, gauging the species is really fun. It's interesting to try and decipher which is which. And looking at the pads from the print, you can definitely tell as well where the print of a black bear, if you took a line and tried to draw between the toes and the pad, you would always kind of hit the toes. It wouldn't be a straight line without hitting the toes. Whereas with a brown bear, between the pad and the toes, if you had that straight line, you would not hit the toes. So you could make a clean line through without hitting those toes. And we'll have pictures at the demonstration and the presentation on Friday to look at those differences and get in more detail.
And I have a section when I do my training for folks that goes through some good pictures, and I ask folks, is this a brown bear or a black bear? And it might be a little bit cheating because they're tough pictures, some of them, but people get it wrong more than half the time in this particular quiz that I use. And there's another good quiz online. I think it's the Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks. They have a good brown bear, black bear quiz on their website. So it's something people make a quick judgment of, I've realized it can be tough, you know, especially working in Hyder some where there's both, good numbers of both black bear and brown bear. It can be tough to separate them sometimes. If you can have a black bear standing at just the right angle where it looks like he's got a big shoulder hump, and then he'll turn and you'll realize it was just the way he was standing or the way his posture was. And then sometimes you'll get a nice, sleek looking brown bear that, and at the right angle, you don't see that shoulder hump or whatever it might be. The ear shape, the face shape, there's little differences and little cues you got to look for. At certain angles, at certain light, you're not going to see, or you might, your mind might see things that aren't necessarily there. So I think it's important just to, if you see a bear, ready your deterrent. Don't think about species. Don't fixate on these things. If you see a bear, remain calm, stay in place, prepare your deterrent, regardless of the situation. I think that's the more important thing to drive home than focusing on the different species.
Mm-hmm. And a place where a lot of people see bears, especially black bears, is right here in town, in Ketchikan. And maybe you don't always have your deterrent with you every second, you know, when you're walking around doing your thing. And that's important, again, back to the awareness, just making sure that, you know, especially when you live in a place where there's a nice green belt or you're close to the edge of the woods, bears really like to use that space to come in and out. They feel more comfortable at home in the woods than they do running around town. But the reason a lot of times they're coming into town is because there's some sort of an attractant available. And a really common one is trash. Bears love it. Anything that smells good, it could be such a little thing, gum wrappers, toothpaste, anything. And it's important to keep those away from bears. And what we preach at Fish and Game is secure your attractants, secure your attractants, secure your attractants. There's a lot of different ones. We also have things like livestock, chickens and ducks and goats. We have bird feeders. There's grills, there's just all these different smells. You know, we have gardens, maybe we want to have berries. But we can we can have those things. We just have to prepare and make a space that the bear doesn't want to be in and keep them away from those spots. So with trash, the best thing is to keep it in a keep it in a shed or a sturdy structure. And then with the livestock, definitely an electric fence is the way to go. And we'll talk a lot more about all those options at our talk on Friday.
Okay, great. And any other last words you wanted to put in before we...
No. I mean, Ross hammered home everything. I will add, if you're camping anywhere in the forest, but at Ward Lake, at Last Chance Campground, Signal Creek Campground, either store food in your vehicle or store it in the food storage lockers that are provided at your campsite, and then put all trash in the bear-proof trash cans. Don't make attractants available to bears.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Thank you so much. We went a little overtime, but it was a fascinating discussion, so I didn't want to cut you off until I had to. And again, that was Ross Dorndorf and Ben Limley. And more information in more detail, along with some practicing opportunities, will be Friday at
5:30 to 6:30 at the Southeast Alaska Discovery Center.